Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 25 June 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're in the paragraph of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 13 through 16, and where we have the Corinthian believers' positive response to Paul and his teaching, and that has been a great encouragement to him and a great refreshment to Pastor Teacher Titus. Verse 13, we exegeted last time. It sounds like this. On account of this, verses 11 and 12, we have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Paul sent his troubleshooter. He had two great young men in his traveling seminary, Pastor Teacher Titus and Pastor Teacher Timothy. And they have become excellent. They had the gift of Pastor Teacher, and they have become excellent communicators of the grace and truth of the Word of God. Timothy was a little bit of a mama's boy and had a little bit of trouble when he went up to Corinth. They kind of yelled at him and told him he didn't know what he was doing. He just kind of went away. Titus, on the other hand, was tough. Titus was a troubleshooter. So whenever Paul needed somebody tough to go in as a troubleshooter, he called on Pastor Teacher Titus. So Paul sent his troubleshooter, Titus, to Corinth to check out on the situation there, because Paul wasn't sure. Corinth, of course, set the world record for reversionism. set the world record for bad decisions. And Paul had to really clobber them when he wrote 1 Corinthians. And he had to hit them with again and again and again and again with virtue love. And he wasn't sure if he even had a ministry there anymore. So he sent up his troubleshooter, pastor teacher Titus, to Corinth to check out the situation and see what's going on. And Titus was very apprehensive about this mission even going. But he was pleasantly surprised at the Corinthian believers' response to Paul's tough love and teaching of grace and truth. The Corinthians responded positively to Paul and 1 Corinthians. And that was a great encouragement to the Apostle Paul. Added to this was Titus' elation at the reception that he received from the believers in Corinth. Yes, they had been making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. They were living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They were living in Satan's cosmic system. And Paul had to clobber them, clobber them, clobber them. But you know what? They repented. They changed their thinking. They rebounded. They knew that Paul was 100% right. And they knew that they were 100% wrong. They rebounded, they got back into fellowship with God, and then they, with positive volition and humility, they responded to Paul's teaching of 1 Corinthians. So their positive volition and their humility provided great spiritual refreshment in the soul of pastor teacher Titus. And that brought us to a study of what the Bible has to say about refreshment, the doctrine of refreshment. We've studied the first four points. In point one, we had definition. And usually when you think of refreshment, you think of food, something to drink, and food. But that's not how the Bible looks at refreshment. In the Bible, refreshment connotes refreshment that takes place in here, in your soul. That's the refreshment of the Bible. God refreshes the soul of the believer. How? Through His Word. Now, it doesn't do any good just to hear the Word of God and be a hearer only. And there are a lot of people that are hearers only. And they'll say, Pastor Olson, I hear what you're saying, and I think you're crazy. I don't believe it. They understand it. Oh, they understand it 100%. I don't believe it. There's no refreshment there. Gnosis doctrine in the mind, there's no refreshment in your soul. The only time there's refreshment is you have to eat it. You have to eat it. You have to metabolize it. You have to believe it. When you believe it, then it goes into your heart. Then you have refreshment. If you don't believe it, no refreshment. I don't care how many times you come here. If you just sit there and say, I don't believe that. I understand what you're saying, Pastor Olson. I don't believe it. Well, you have no refreshment in your soul. Refreshment comes from the Word of God that you eat. Eat it, believe it, metabolize it. Then it gets into your soul and heart. Now you have refreshment in your soul. So God refreshes the soul of the believer through the Word of God that you learn and believe and metabolize and is in your heart. It also means to provide stimulation and blessing for the soul of an individual. The pastor's soul is refreshed by the positive volition and the humility of the congregation, responding to his teaching of grace and truth. Spiritual refreshment also is the result of the principle of blessing by association with a spiritually mature believer. And we have, many of you are been so positive in growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you've attained spiritual adulthood, some of you spiritual maturity. And when that is true, the principle of blessing by association with everywhere you go and everyone you come in contact with, you become a refreshment for those people. The spiritually mature believer is a refreshment to his family, refreshment to the people in the in your neighborhood, refreshment to the people at work, refreshment when you go out to a restaurant, to the people that come up to you. We have Deb and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary this last week, and one of our favorite places to go is Fleming Steakhouse. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Fleming Steakhouse, you know why we go there? To eat seafood. It's the best seafood restaurant that's called a steakhouse. And we go, but the people that work there, there's several Christians that work there as waiters. And the people that are work at the to clear your table and do all of those things, they all are so fantastic, and they everyone say, you know, you guys, you're so different. You're so different than anybody else. You always are happy. You're always smiling. It's so much fun for us. What is that? They're refreshed. They're refreshed being around us, and that is a part of blessing by association. You become a refreshment to everyone in your periphery, and that is fantastic. That is a very important part of the doctrine of refreshment. It also means to supply what is necessary for spiritual blessing, refreshment in times of disaster, refreshment in times of adversity. Your life should be a source of blessing to others as you are refreshed from the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. You have the basis through virtue love brought to completion in your heart to communicate warmth and friendship and stability and encouragement to others. Refreshment is a relaxed mental attitude and being a blessing by association. Now, sometimes refreshment connotes a temporary solution or interlude of happiness and joy. However, the Word of God that you believe, eat, metabolize, the Word of God that is in your heart, that is a permanent solution and permanent refreshment of your soul. That was point one, definition. Point two, we noted the refreshment and alleviation of King Saul's psychosis. Now, that was just a temporary solution. An interlude of refreshment for Saul was in reversionism, and we studied that in 1 Samuel chapter 16. David was a great, great musician. Most of the Psalms in the Old Testament were written by David. The human author was David. What are the Psalms? They're songs. The Psalms are a hymnal. That was the hymnal that they sang. They sang these songs. And David wrote most of those songs. And he was a great musician. He didn't play the harp. I know there's all these people. You see pictures of them in heaven. Broom, broom. I got news for you. You're not going to play any harp when you get to heaven. I'm not going to play a harp. No. David played a stringed instrument. But it was not a harp. It was a stringed instrument. And he was excellent at it. So David's musical therapy refreshed King Saul's soul. Saul was blessed by association with spiritually mature believer David. But King Saul had no capacity to appreciate it. So refreshment is used for soul recovery and blessing. But in the case of King Saul, it was simply a temporary refreshment, but it did not solve his problem, which was reversionism. And then point three, response to the teaching of the Word of God results in great soul refreshment. Proverbs 25, verse 13. Refreshment that comes to believers comes through the one who is faithful in communication of the God-breathed scriptures. Response to the Word of God with positive volition and humility results in refreshment not only for the congregation, but also for the pastor. The personality of the communicator of the Word of God, well, that's not the issue. But the refreshing message that he brings, that is the issue. The point of total refreshment is when you attain spiritual maturity. When you fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The spiritually mature believer then is a refreshment to everyone associated with him. Romans 15, 30 to 33. And that brought us to point four. All spiritually mature believers have a ministry. You have a ministry of refreshment as a part of blessing by association. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians 16, 17 and 18, Philemon verses 7 and 20, and 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. Now that brings us to point five. The rejection of refreshment. What is that? Rejection of the teaching of the Word of God. Rejection of the teaching of the Word of God. Because that's the basis of refreshment. The basis of refreshment for you is the Word of God. But the rejection of the teaching of the Word of God, rejection of that refreshment means national discipline. And I just had you turn to close last time, but this is a very important passage and very important in the time in which we live today as well. So turn over to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Now, Isaiah was one of the great Bible teachers in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, these were great communicators of the Word of God. They did it the right way. They taught the Word of God the right way. And by the way, the right way is repetition. That's the right way. And if a pastor's not teaching repetition, he's not teaching the right way. He's teaching the wrong way. The right way for the communication of the Word of God is repetition, repetition, repetition. That's true in just about everything in life. In the military, you go into the military. What do you do when you get in the military? basics. Repetition, 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 again and again and again, over and over and over. Repetition. What do you do when you're in athletics? Well, I ran the hurdles in college at Washington State University, and I was able to coach my sons in track and field out at Indian Springs. And when the hurdles, you have to have repetition, repetition, repetition. You just take it one step at a time. There's a lot of things. Lead leg. Lead leg. You work on the lead leg. You never have a straight leg. You never put your leg straight out. Never lock the knee. It's a bent knee. You're running. You're running the hurdles. You're not jumping the hurdles. You're not a leaping tuna going over the hurdle. You're running over the hurdle. So the knee comes up, the foot goes out and runs down. The knee comes around and down. And so first you work on the lead leg, lead leg, lead leg. Bent knee up, down, bang, up, down, down, over and over. Then trail leg, lead with the knee. Lead with the knee, up, out, down. Lead leg, lead arm, trail arm, head. All of this, you go, but it's something. First time I saw my sons run the hurdles, it was quite amusing. It looked like, well, I can't tell you exactly what it looked like. There was leaping tunas, hitting hurdles, jumping around, doing this and that. And that was at the beginning. We kept working on it. Repetition, 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 repetition. And it was getting better and better and better. And one track meet, I keep on thinking it was at Bonanza High School. And I was working with some jumpers, and the high hurdles were being run. And I knew that Derek was getting very close to putting the whole package together after lots and lots of repetition. And the gun went off, and I glanced over and watched, and he nailed it. Boom, 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 boom. Perfect. And he's running for Indian Springs, a 1A school. He's running against, well, at that time, 4A schools. And he just blew them all away and won it. And right then, I'm standing off, I said, he got it. But only after lots and lots of repetition. Well, that's the way the Word of God is to be taught. Now, reversionists, they think that you're treating them like a child. You're treating them like a child. And what do you think I am? Still nursing from my mother? All you do is repeat and repeat and repeat. Well, what they were doing was maligning one of the great Bible teachers of all time, Isaiah, maligning him, slandering him, judging him. And they were the reversionists, not Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the great Bible teachers of all time. The reversionists were the ones in the northern kingdom. And they accused him of, all you do is just treat us like we're children, like we're babies. All you do is repeat and repeat and repeat. And that's here in this passage, Isaiah 28. And I want you to listen now. Because some of you have got into the same thing. And not only here, but when the greatest Bible teacher of all time was Colonel Thieme. He's in heaven now. But Colonel Thieme. And there were people at Baraka that said, oh, all he's doing is repeating, repeating, repeating. Yes, he was. He was teaching just like Isaiah. Just the way he's supposed to teach. The right way. So in Isaiah 28, verse 8, I want you to notice also when verse 8, all the tables are covered with vomit. Now that's pretty exciting, isn't it? All the tables are covered with vomit. Why? Because they're drunkards. They're drunkards. They're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They lust for alcohol. Now, we have a society today in America, and people lust for drugs. They lust for drugs. And they're drug addicts. They're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. But we have a lot of alcoholics in America, too, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They're drunkards. What is that? They're just self-centered. They're very self-centered, satisfying their own lusts and their own sin, old sin nature. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. They're in reversionism. That characterizes so much of America today. Well, that's what was going on here. All the tables are covered with vomit. They're in reversionism. They're drunkards. They're operating by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They're very self-centered. And there is not a spot without filth. Now, then they malign Isaiah. Verse 9. They're maligning Isaiah. Who is it that he's trying to teach? Who is Isaiah trying to teach, they say? To who is he explaining his message, the teaching of the Word of God? To children? He's treating us like we're children. To children weaned from their milk? To those just taken from the breast? That's how Isaiah is treating us. Like we're just children. He's repeating and repeating and repeating. All they're doing is maligning and slandering and judging one of the greatest Bible teachers in the Old Testament, Isaiah. Isaiah was teaching exactly the way he's supposed to teach. And then they made fun of him and they said, for this is how he teaches. Do and do, rule and rule, rule and rule, a little here, a little there. They're slandering him, maligning him, judging him. Now that's the exact way the Word of God should be taught. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, a little here, a little there, daily perception of the Word of God. And that's how Isaiah taught. And that's the way the Word of God is supposed to be taught. By every faithful pastor, teacher, or communicator of the Word of God. That's how the Bible's supposed to be taught. And they were making fun of Isaiah. Making fun of him. What? He thinks we're just children? Repeat, 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 repeat. Do and do, rule and rule, rule and rule. A little here, a little there. That's exactly how the Bible's supposed to be taught. A little here, a little there, daily perception of the Word of God. Isaiah taught day after day after day after day. There's more Bible doctrine taught here in this church than anywhere else in America. They might meet one or two times a week. We meet five times a week. There is nobody else anywhere that is communicating five times a week. Nowhere. That's what we have here is daily perception of the Word of God. Daily perception of the Word of God. We have it here five times a week. The best you can get outside of that is about three times a week. But you see, they were making fun of Isaiah for his repetition. Do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. But that really is precept upon precept, precept upon precept. line upon line, line upon line, exegetical, verse by verse, line upon line, teaching of the Word of God. That's what Isaiah was doing. That's the way it's supposed to be taught. Line upon line, word by word, teach exegetical teaching. That's the way the Word of God is to be taught. And daily perception of the Word, a little here, a little there. That's what Isaiah was doing. Well, then in verse 11, Isaiah says, okay, very well then. You reject the teaching of the Word of God as it's supposed to be taught? Very well then. You're in reversionism. And you're going to go out the fifth cycle of national discipline and be no more. And they did. The Assyrians came and destroyed them. And there was no more northern kingdom. They're gone. They were making fun of the great Bible teacher. So that great Bible teacher says, very well then. Very well then. With foreign lips, the Assyrians, administering the fifth cycle of discipline, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people. The administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline to the northern kingdom. They didn't want to listen to great Bible teacher teaching the Word of God the way he's supposed to teach the Word of God. They made fun of him. So Isaiah says, all right, then you'll hear the Assyrians as they wipe you out and destroy you under the fifth cycle of discipline. And then in verse 12, he says, to whom he said, this is the resting place. What I am doing, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, daily perception, here a little, there a little. This is refreshment. This is the resting place. And you don't want it. You don't want it. And you're not going to have it. You're going to be wiped out by the fifth cycle of national discipline. This, what I'm doing, Isaiah says, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of refreshment. And you don't want it. So, notice the last line of verse 12. But they would not listen to Isaiah. Isaiah says, this is the place of refreshment. The teaching of the Word of God, precept upon precept, line upon line, daily perception. This is the place of refreshment. But they would not listen to Isaiah. They would not listen. They knew better than he did. And there's so many arrogant believers think they know better than the pastor, better than Isaiah, better than Colonel Thieme. They thought they knew better. They didn't know a damn thing. They were just arrogant, totally arrogant. So then, the word of the Lord to them will become precept upon precept, do and do, rule and rule, line upon line, line upon line, a little here, a little there, daily perception, so that they will go and fall backward. Isaiah didn't change his teaching. He said, I'm going to keep right on doing what I'm supposed to be doing, teaching the Word of God, the way it's supposed to be taught. And they will go and fall backward, be injured and snared and captured. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers. Scoffers. Isaiah let them have it. They died the sin unto death. They were totally destroyed as a northern kingdom. So, point five, the rejection of sound doctrinal teaching, the right way, repetition, precept upon precept, line upon line, daily perception of the word. Rejection of that, you have no refreshment. The rejection of the teaching of the Word of God and refreshment means national discipline. That's Isaiah 28:8-14. So, subpoint one, the place of refreshment is Isaiah 28:12. Is the teaching of the Word of God. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, daily perception of the Word of God. That's the place of refreshment. But they didn't want it. And they had no refreshment. Two, this would result in capacity for life and periods of national prosperity. This would result in capacity for life and periods of national prosperity. However, point three, the Northern Kingdom was so negative to, well, this great Bible teacher, Isaiah. There was nothing wrong with Isaiah, one of the greatest communicators in the Old Testament of all time. The Northern Kingdom was so negative to the teaching of the Word of God by Isaiah that they wouldn't even listen to refreshing Bible teaching from Isaiah. They wouldn't even listen to refreshing Bible teaching from Isaiah. They just said, oh, you're teaching us like we're children. So they were destroyed by the Assyrians through the fifth cycle of national discipline. They reaped what they sowed. Now, here's another passage. Turn over to Acts chapter 3. Here's what they should have done, but failed to do. Here's what they should have done. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent. Repent. What's that? Change your thinking. Change your mind. What's that? Rebound. Acknowledge the fact that you're wrong. Acknowledge your sins to God. Get back into fellowship with God. Repent. Rebound. Get back into fellowship with God, therefore, and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's got to start, though, with repentance, biblical repentance. Rebound. Acknowledge the fact that you're wrong. Acknowledge your sins. Get back into fellowship with God in order that times of refreshing, the teaching of the Word of God, may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. So, Acts 3:19, one, this verse says, if you change your mind, biblical repentance, if you change your mind about God and His Word, biblical repentance, it will result in refreshment. This verse says, if you change your mind about God and His Word, biblical repentance, it will result in refreshment. Secondly, two, if you go back and listen to all of the doctrine that that faithful communicator like Isaiah taught, all of that faithful doctrine, sure, like the Apostle Paul taught to the Corinthians. And when Paul taught it, it hurt. It hurt. It cut them down to size. They might have been 7 feet, but by the time Paul got done, they were about 2 foot tall. But if you go back and listen with positive volition and humility to the doctrine that these faithful communicators are teaching, then you will find refreshment for your soul. Then you will find refreshment for your soul. All right, verse 13 then again says, on account of this, verses 11 and 12, we have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Now we go on, because this paragraph goes from verse 13 to verse 16. So let's get cracking. Verse 14. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. This is the conjunction ha ti with the conditional particle ae and the indefinite pronoun ti, plus the perfect middle indicative of kaukaomai, onomatopoetic word there. The dative singular of autos plus the prepositional phrase huper and the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su plus the aorist passive indicative of katai skuno with the objective negative u. Okay. Now, ha ti is that you know most of the time this is a causal conjunction and you translate it because. But Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 593 and 594, tells us that in our verse, the subordination is so loose that it should be correctly translated for. We'll translate it for. And then the conditional particle A, it looks like that actually in the Greek, A introduces the first class condition. If, Paul is saying, if I have boasted anything about you, you believers in Corinth, to pastor teacher Titus, and first class condition, and I have, A plus the indefinite pronoun T is an idiom, and correctly translated, whatever. And so we'll translate it, whatever. And this also, Dana and Manti, the Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 247, tells us that this should be translated, whatever. And then the verb kaukaomai. That's K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I, kaukaomai. Now, kaukaomai, as an intransitive verb, it means to boast or to glory or to pride oneself in or about a person or a thing. But kaukaomai as a transitive verb, which is how it's used in our verse, which means it takes an object, it means to boast about something, to mention in order to boast of something, to say something boastingly or in pride to someone concerning someone. The perfect tense is the consummative perfect. This use of the perfect connotes that the action is completed. Paul has done a lot of boasting about the Corinthians with pastor teacher Titus. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The Apostle Paul has performed the action of boasting to Titus concerning the believers in Corinth. The indicative mood is declarative. This is the certainty and the reality of Paul's mental attitude toward the believers in Corinth. And then the dative singular of autos is the dative of destination recipient. And you would translate it to him, to Titus. To pastor teacher Titus, the recipient of Paul's boasting and confidence in the believers at Corinth was pastor teacher Titus. So before Titus left and go up, the apostle Paul was boasting about the believers in Corinth. The preposition huper plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su is correctly translated concerning you, you being the believers in Corinth. And then we have kat aiskuno. Kat aiskuno. Looks like that in the Greek, K-A-T-A-I-S-C-H-U-N, long O, kat aiskuno. And kat aiskuno means to dishonor, to disgrace, to disfigure, to put someone to shame. That's in the active voice. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be put to shame, to be humiliated. But we have with it the objective negative ooh. That's critical. Looks like that in the Greek and the English. Ooh slams the door. And Paul is saying, I absolutely was not humiliated by boasting about you Corinthians to pastor teacher Titus. I absolutely was not put to shame. So the corrected translation, for whatever I have boasted to him, pastor teacher Titus, concerning you, believers in Corinth, I absolutely was not humiliated or put to shame. Then we have, but as we spoke all things to you in truth. He's setting up a comparison now. Now, when Paul taught the word of God to the believers in Corinth, he taught the absolute truth of the word of God. He had to teach in tough love. Tough virtue love, because he didn't want to see them crash and burn. He didn't want to see them die the sin and the death. And a lot of them were. A lot of them were dying the sin and the death. So, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, when Paul taught that tough love, he taught the absolute truth of the Word of God. He taught exactly what the believers in Corinth needed to hear. So that's what we have here. So, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, this is the conjunction Allah with the comparative particle host, plus the aorist active indicative of laleo, plus the accusative plural neuter of pos, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su, and then the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative of aletheia. And you've had that many, many times. The conjunction Allah. A-L-L-A. Allah. Strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, correctly translated, but it sets up a contrast between one, between being put to shame with confidence and rejoicing. Sets up a contrast between being put to shame with confidence and rejoicing. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between his boasting as lies with his boasting proved to be truth, absolute truth. And then we have the conjunction of comparison. That conjunction of comparison is hos, H long O-S. You translate that as, setting up a comparison now. And then the basic Greek verb for communication of the Word of God, laleo. L-A-L-E long O. That's the basic verb for the communication of the Word of God. It means to proclaim, to teach. Laleo is used to refer to the Apostle Paul's teaching of grace and truth to the believers in Corinth. He taught aletheia. He taught the absolute truth of the Word of God. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. And constant evangelist. Well, we're talking about 1 Corinthians, so down here we got chapter 1, up here we got chapter 16, and that's the constant evangelist. Everything from chapter 1 to chapter 16, in its entirety, that's the constant evangelist. So it's viewing the Apostle Paul's teaching of 1 Corinthians in its entirety. The active voice, the Apostle Paul performed the action of the verb, proclaiming the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this as a dogmatic fact of the Word of God. The adjective pos means all, every, each. However, when pos is used as a substantive, as it is in our verse, and in the neuter plural, it means all things, all doctrines that Paul taught. Everything that I, Paul, taught to you. That's what we have here in the substantival use of pos. All things, all doctrines, everything that I, Paul, taught to you. Dative plural of the personal pronoun su, to you. Dative case, dative of indirect object. The indirect object means this is for your interest and benefit. This teaching was given for your interest and your benefit. And then N plus the dative of aletheia. N plus aletheia. And N is in. Aletheia, well, this is, I love this word, A-L-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. It means absolute truth. Paul says everything that I taught to you in 1 Corinthians was absolute truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the aletheia. He said, I am the way and the absolute truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Jesus Christ is the truth. And then Jesus Christ, in his prayer to the Father, said, Father, sanctify them by means of the truth. Thy word is aletheia. Thy word is absolute truth. And that's why, that's the key to refreshment. To have the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart will bring great refreshment to your soul. And when you get enough of the absolute truth of the Word of God in your soul, you will be refreshment to everyone in your periphery. Blessing by association. So N plus aletheia, in absolute truth, in absolute dependability, in absolute truthfulness. So the corrected translation, but as we proclaimed everything, all doctrines to you for your interest and benefit, in absolute truth, truthfulness and dependability. Then he goes on, even so, our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found to be absolute truth. So we have now the adverb houtos with the conjunction chi, plus the nominative singular of caucasus with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase epi, plus the proper noun titos, you call him Titus, titos with the definite article, plus the aorist passive indicative of genomai, plus the predicate nominative of aletheia, once again. Houtos kai. See, there was a comparison. I told you there was a comparison come up. Now we have it. Houtos kai. H-O-U-T, long O-S-K-A-I. Houtos kai is means so also. So also. And then caucasus hemon, so also. This is the noun from kaukaomai, K-A-U-C-H, long E-S-I-S. And this is the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, H, long E, M, long O, N. Caucasus hemon, our boasting. So also, he's setting up a comparison. He started out, but as we proclaimed all doctrines to you for your interest and for your benefit in absolute truth, so also our boasting, epitetu, in the presence of Titus, before Titus, and then ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I, ginomai. Ginomai can mean to become. It can also mean to be born or to be made or to be created. It can also mean to happen or to take place. And it can mean to become something, to prove to be, and we have here, aletheia, proved to be absolute truth. So the corrected translation. So also, our boasting in the presence of Titus proved to be absolute truth. Verse 14. So now, verses 13 and 14. On account of this, verses 11 and 12, we have been encouraged. And in addition to our encouragement, we rejoiced even much more for the happiness of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever I have boasted to him, Titus, concerning you, Corinthian believers, I absolutely was not humiliated or put to shame. But as we proclaimed everything, all the doctrines to you, in absolute truth, so also our boasting in the presence of Titus proved to be absolute truth. I mean, Paul is very excited about what has gone on in Corinth. They have repented, biblical repentance. They acknowledged their sins to God. They got back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life. They realized that they were 100% wrong and Paul was 100% right in what he taught them. And now they're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They got a ways to go, but they're going in the right direction. All right. We'll take it up at verse 15 next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege that we've had this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of the Word of God. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.